Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, 606. It's the first day of September. Wow, this year is just flying by, isn't it? Well, got Walt Rubel coming on the next hour. Up to this point, though, we've got just kind of summing it up here. We got this mix-up with two parties, both having what would be claimed by many as broken candidates. Not really fair to Trump, though, is that? I mean, putting him in the same category as Hillary. 523-1450, do you think Hillary's going to make it? Do you care? Do you think Hillary's a better opposition to whoever the Republican is? Now, Carson is coming up. He's rising now. What does it tell you that two non, or maybe should I say three non-politicians are at the top of the heap? You've got Trump, you've got Carson, and you've got Carly Fiorina, who's number three, and they're not going to let her into the next debate. Can you believe that? And one of the articles today, Ben Carson rising is nice, making a comeback. What Ben Carson strikes me when I listen to him is a very, very smart guy who's had some real world success and not a lot of downside. Whereas Trump is always in the middle of a disagreement. The question on the left is, will Biden come in and run? I've read a number of articles, a couple of articles anyway, that said it would be a huge mistake for him to come in. It is impossible to know how serious Hillary's situation is, but she's got 150 new emails that are of a nature of, what do you call it, highly classified. Here we got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Ted. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, great. How you doing?
Good. You ask how we felt about Hillary Clinton, and I think Hillary is done. She's just incredibly toxic.
Yeah.
They're just scratching the surface with this email deal. Benghazi's not going away. Whitewater's still fresh in everybody's mind, or will be. I saw how they swift voted Kerry, and I just think that she's way too toxic.
Well, you know, there's a new scandal now. They found another email server that was supposed to be purely private, and they found hundreds of classified messages in there, and they can't figure out how they got in there. They claim that she would have had to gone out of her way to defy the protocol.
I think the only reason that Obama was elected was because that they couldn't come up with anything on him. And even then, they dug up this deal on Reverend Wright, and then this ridiculous deal about where he's born. I mean, it's just like I say, Hillary just goes on for miles and miles. Rush Limbaugh once said that he had a stack 6 feet tall of material on Hillary.
Ted, do you think it was a mistake to... for the people who pushed her out of the race last time, given what Obama has done?
Well, I just don't know. And Obama's not finished. I mean, it just seems like he's just pushing it as far as he can, and he doesn't even consult the Congress anymore. And for my money, I think he's poisoning the water for any further Democratic contender because they I think this country is going to be finished with Democrats.
He's absolutely slaughtered the Democratic Party in terms of national if you look the president from the Democrat side, if you want to talk about John Stewart's 10 pounds of feces in a 5-pound sack, which is what he called all of the candidates on the right, which just confirmed for me that John Stewart is one of the most partisan people in history.
I think what you need to consider is what happens if Hillary does get elected. I mean, she's going to have a Republican Congress. It's just going to be 4 more years of gridlock, if anybody wants that.
Well, gridlock seems to be better than an activist Senate or House, but I you can't help but notice when Donald Trump mentions something, it resonates. And he says these people go to Washington and they become very weak. There's no doubt about this. All of the people who said they were going to stand up against Obamacare and all these other things, they just disappeared.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah, but I'm sure they're serving their masters on K Street, though.
Whatever. It's disgusting. Well, thanks for the call, Ted. Have a good day. All right, folks, let's see here. I got a clip for you bringing up what the topic of the day is. I guess, is this new email scandal, which grows and grows. It's like, what's that stuff back east? Kudzu? This weed that they brought in for some reason. And it just, like, have you ever seen a place that has kudzu growing in it? That's all you can see. But anyway, here's from Fox.
So the State Department is set to release another batch of Hillary Clinton's emails from her personal server. Going to happen around 6 p.m. Eastern tonight, we understand. An official confirms with Fox News that they will release about 6,000 in this group, some of which include redacted classified information. So what's next? Your chief intelligence correspondent, Catherine Herridge, live in Washington. So, Catherine, what can you tell us about this group?
Well, Martha, good morning. An intelligence source tells Fox News that an elite FBI team is leading, quote, the extremely serious investigation into Hillary Clinton's server. And the focus includes a provision of the Espionage Act, known as 18 U.S. Code 793, that states government employees with access to secret information will be prosecuted if it's mishandled on purpose or by accident. Quote, whoever being entrusted with or having lawful possession or control of any document through gross negligence or having knowledge that the same has been illegally removed and fails to make prompt report of such loss shall be fined under this title or imprisoned. And to that point, the email we've seen previously from Clinton aide Huma Abedin contained intelligence from 3 agencies, the NSA, the NGA that oversees aerial imagery, including spy satellites, and the NSA. Though under the law, the markings on a document don't make any difference in a prosecution, Mrs. Clinton is emphasizing this distinction.
You can make different decisions because things have changed, circumstances have changed, but it doesn't change the fact that I did not send or receive material marked classified.
And Fox News has obtained this classified, unclassified cable, rather, that was sent by Secretary Kerry to all State Department employees on August 22nd, just 9 days ago. And it emphasizes email security and that you simply cannot send any classified information on the State Department's unclassified systems and also personal email, Martha.
There's a scramble to make sure that this doesn't happen again,
right.
And that people don't have to deal with it down the road. So what else is required in terms of the federal rules for these employees, Catherine?
Well, look, it's clear that once a possible compromise of national security defense information, it doesn't even have to be classified information, is made, it has to be reported. And in this case, the State Department would do a damage assessment.
Under both law and regulation, if an agency head is made aware of even a possible compromise of information, they have an obligation, first of all, to immediately report that, and secondly, to initiate an investigation to establish the facts of what occurred. There's no evidence that any of that occurred at the State Department.
Well, that's right. Fox News checked with the State Department independently, and there was no confirmation that a damage assessment is being done. On its face, this is a clear violation of the law and the regulations. And critics would say another example of the double standard, Martha, that's at play here.
Catherine, thank you.
All right. So, you know, it seems like everything is about Hillary. She can get up there and say it wasn't marked classified because she comes up with the standard, which is obviously her lawyers who must be working just night and day their whole lives for these people, gets up and says, what's a way that we can spin this so that it's not damaging? And somebody says, well, you're not supposed to send classified information, but how would you know? Therefore, it's got to be marked classified. Therefore, we're going to say we never sent anything that was marked classified. I mean, like Ted said, what would a Hillary Clinton presidency look like? I mean, she's I don't get what the attraction is. All of these people, the Frankies of the world who love her to pieces. But even Frankie said she might have screwed up. So, all right. So anyway, I'm going to come back and talk about this a little bit more. I've got some interesting stuff for you, though, on the shooter, this black guy that went out and shot these two white people, which was a racial attack because, it was. I mean, he was a racist. Anyway, 617, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 and 805-6180 to text in, 805-6180. We're going to come back. I'm going to tell you about some interesting stuff about the shooter that you might find fascinating and perhaps disgusting. We'll be right back. Out of the NFL news, no deal between Tom Brady and the league, and this deflate gate keeps pounding along. But I think what they ought to do is cut their losses and offer him a 2-game suspension. I know the league doesn't want to do that. But, you know, the more you think about it, the smaller this thing seems. The ball was underdeflated. That's their way of cheating. All right, so John Boehner, head of the House, was called in 2010 by one of Hillary Clinton's assistants, lazy and an alcoholic. Interesting, huh? I've got some news about the world's oldest Quran that you might find shocking, especially if you're a Muslim. But here's a little more on this situation with Hillary's emails, which just seems to be growing. It's a typical Clinton scale or typical Clinton scandal is that they minimize everything and they get you used to they've done maybe a little bit wrong. And then the truth comes out and it's bigger and then they minimize that. And then, you know, their whole orientation is towards crisis management, but check this out. State Department IT staff among those in the dark about Clinton's private email address.
Breaking tonight, our researchers are pouring through thousands of Hillary Clinton's emails just released about 34 minutes ago by the State Department. The documents are from Mrs. Clinton's unsecured private email server that she used while Secretary of State. The agency is blacking out any sensitive information that may put U.S. national security at risk, which of course begs the question about why they were on her private email server instead of adequately protected. In this latest dump, roughly 150 emails contained classified information. What? So hours ago, Chief White House correspondent asked the State Department whether Mrs. Clinton violated rules for handling sensitive material.
Can you say from that podium categorically that Secretary Clinton followed the rules and the law?
I'm just not going to answer that question. It's not our goal. It's not our function in this regard in releasing these emails.
And it's so irritating since there's no good answer. Ed Henry is live in Washington for us tonight. Ed, all right, so we get a 7,000 email dump at 9 p.m. What have we found so far?
Megan, I've got a broad spectrum for you. I've got some serious stuff that goes at the heart of Hillary Clinton's explanations to the American people not adding up. I've got some on the classified nature of the emails, and then one fun one that I think you're really going to like. That's a good tease. Okay, the first one is, In June of 2010, Philippe Reines, one of Hillary Clinton's aides, sends an email to Hillary Clinton as well as Huma Abedin, who's CC'd, and it's marked HPAD, as in Hillary iPad. And it says to the secretary, quote, "Your iPad has arrived." Hillary Clinton writes back, "That is exciting news. Do you think you can teach me how to use it on the flight to Kiev next week?" Why is that significant? Remember, March 10th, United Nations news conference, she said this whole explanation was because she wanted the convenience of one device, her BlackBerry. This clearly shows she's using an iPad as well. There was more than one device, despite that explanation. Now the more serious stuff about classified information. You mentioned 150 of them. Let me give you a couple quick examples. We found one email that's now been deemed classified by the State Department. The Clinton campaign stresses after the fact. There's a debate about whether it should have been classified in real time. One email about a presidential crisis in Haiti. That kind of email raises questions. Shouldn't the Secretary of State known at the time this was at the least sensitive information, if not classified? Then secondly, the one I'm looking at now is two or three pages about Sudan. And a top U.S. official writes to all these top State Department officials about some trilateral meetings with sensitive information about Sudan. That's forwarded by Jake Sullivan, a top Clinton aide, to Hillary Clinton, who writes back, "I'm willing to make the calls he requested." We don't know what calls she's talking about, because let me show you this page. It says page denied. It's now been deemed classified. This entire page of information we can't see now. And at the time, Hillary Clinton apparently did not realize that this was classified information. Last point I'd make, the fun one I told you about. Cheryl Mills, her chief of staff, sends one out to Hillary Clinton about someone just leaving the State Department, someone who's left, and says there's going to be champagne and cupcakes for this staffer. Hillary Clinton writes to Cheryl Mills, quote, "Is there a backstory?" Funny, because even the Secretary of State gets into the office intrigue. When you get that little email saying someone's left the State Department, someone's left Fox, immediately, is there a backstory, Megan?
You have been in Washington too long.
All right. So anyway, there is a bunch of stuff in these emails, and you can bet that what they really wanted to always good, they always wanted to get information about Benghazi. Now, you realize that we still don't know what she was doing that day exactly, who gave the orders to stand down. And we still don't know who was responsible for Benghazi. And Hillary Clinton gets up and says, "I hope this is the last time that we ever try to make political hay out of this Benghazi situation." She is, I don't know. I don't get it. They came out with a book and a movie about how Christopher Stevens was helping sell arms over in Libya. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know if anybody's seen that movie or even if it's come out yet. I meant to try to track that one, but it just goes without saying that the Clintons always bring more to the table, and the more is scandals. So the scandals get in the way of running the government, and then they react to being attacked and outraged, and they're circling the wagons, they're securing the castle. And, they're fighting back. They're, remember Bill Clinton, when he was getting impeached, was so self-righteous and angry, you know. And anyway, I don't get the attraction for the left, for Democrats, on this lady, other than she's like grandma. She's been around forever. So, all right, I've got another story for you about Ben Carson. He is going up in the polls, and I think Ben Carson is a really good guy. I couldn't say that about Trump. I don't think he's necessarily a really good guy. I think Trump means well, but he's a narcissist, you know? And so I think that gets in the way of seeing a bigger picture. But, you know, Trump has got this uncanny ability to sum up what people are saying at the moment. He doesn't need anybody to write it for him. He brings it from his gut. And I think that's one of the things people have never mentioned about him. He does speak without a teleprompter, but I think what impresses people is he comes up with a reaction about stuff that is from the gut and really represents what they believe. So here's a little bit on Ben Carson, who's coming up, the famous neurosurgeon, arguably the most famous neurosurgeon in the world, the head of John Hopkins Pediatric Neurosurgery, which was John Hopkins, the greatest medical research university in the world. Check it out.
The new leaders in the latest Iowa polls could not be more different. One is a bombastic businessman who has ridden a straight-talking roadshow to the top of polls around the country. The other is a former neurosurgeon who expresses his thoughts in soft-spoken tones, but also has been slowly creeping up the list of Republican favorites. Donald Trump and Ben Carson sit atop the newest surveys of Iowa Republicans in poll results that were unimaginable just a few months ago. Chief Washington correspondent James Rosen has tonight's top story.
If Hillary is the candidate, which I doubt, that would be a dream come true.
After an engaging performance in the primetime Fox News debate, Dr. retired neurosurgeon is surging in the polls. The latest Monmouth University poll of likely Republican caucus goers in the early battleground state of Iowa, conducted over the last 3 days, shows Carson capturing 23% and tied with real estate mogul Donald Trump for the lead. Likewise, the latest Bloomberg Politics Des Moines Register poll of likely Republican caucus goers in Iowa, conducted last week, shows Trump leading Carson by 5 points, roughly equal to the margin of error. Pundits race to explain the Ben Carson boomlet.
His anti-politician style, very soft-spoken, funny, humorous, appealing, is really, really scoring with voters in Iowa. When you look at the favorability of Trump and of Ben Carson and also of Carly Fiorina, three candidates who've never held public office.
Right. So does he have a shot? In this race, everybody has a shot, but I don't think anyone should assume that Jeb Bush is going to arise out of this mess or Scott Walker. Or any of the other people. I think it's an anti-politician cycle. And you look at the ultimate politician on the other side, Hillary Clinton is just dying. Now, she may not be dying simply because she's a politician, but her reaction to stuff, I think, was consistent with not wanting to be up front. The Democratic Party has just got to be so upset with her. Anyway, I've got a little information about... Well, I want to get into a little bit on Trump, but first I want to tell you about a fascinating find that has to do with the Quran that you might find a little bit shocking, but I have a couple of books on this, and it's a juicy topic. 6:32, Kelly O'Connell, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text. And we're going to talk a little bit about the origin of the Quran, which they claim may predate Muhammad. All right, just to let you know, by the way, there is a question of whether Mitt Romney is going to jump in the race because Jeb Bush is floundering. And this is from the Observer.com. And because they say that they exist in the same part of the spectrum, the political spectrum, which is kind of in the center, which is not really very hopeful for Mitt Romney, in my opinion, and or Jeb Bush, to be totally honest. All right, let me get to this little bit on the Quran. There have been some books published. I have one of them that claims that Muhammad did not write the Quran. Now, this is from Fox News. British scholars have suggested that fragments of the world's oldest known Quran, which were discovered last month, may predate the accepted founding date of Islam by the Muslim prophet Muhammad. And Islam is founded around 600 AD. So the fragments they claim are from between 568 to 645 AD. Muhammad is generally believed to have lived between 570 AD and 632. So what this would do if this was accepted, historically speaking, it would be a giant discovery, because there were two sheets of Islam's holy book were discovered in a library at the University of Birmingham in England, and they were in part of a they were put into another book that was a much older Quran. So anyway, here's the thing: in the Bible, you have 66 books written by 40 authors. In the Quran, you have one book written by one person. And what's significant about that is that Islam is completely dependent on Muhammad. Now, one of the so-called miracles of Islam was that Muhammad was supposedly illiterate and so had to have gotten his information, his word from God. And so if it's found out that this is not from Muhammad, it would shake to the very foundations Islam. Now, there was another finding, and it was put together by, I can't remember who first came up with the idea, but a guy by the name of Joseph Schacht, who's written one of the most important books in the history of Islamic jurisprudence, basically law. He did a study on the sayings of Muhammad, because there's a lot of area in the Quran, in the Sharia law that doesn't cover topics. For example, there's a huge amount in there on succession and what happens to property when people die. There are many, many areas that are not covered really at all. And so there were statements that were attributed to Muhammad. And what Joseph Schacht did is he went back into the history of these Islamic writings and found there was a period of time when none of these sayings existed after Muhammad's death. And then they become circulated around. And so he basically said almost all of the sayings that were attributed to Muhammad outside of the Quran were spurious, were made up. And it was kind of fascinating. And that created quite a firestorm in Islam. So anyway, just to let you know, there is a theory out there that appears to have some evidence that Muhammad did not write the Quran. I know you're shocked. You could probably care less. But anyway, all right. Here's Ramos, Jorge Ramos, saying Kate's law is unfair. Check this out. This guy has so much nerve. It's amazing. The guy from another country who's come over here to tell us what we're allowed to do with the people from his country.
That Trump wouldn't be interviewed by you. O'Reilly is complaining that you won't come on his show. The other day he said that he wants to know whether you support Kate's law. The idea of Kate's law, and let me read about it. It says that it would mandate 5-year federal prison sentences for undocumented aliens who are deported and then returned to the U.S. Would you support Kate's law?
Well, first let me say about Bill O'Reilly and Fox News. I've been to Fox News many times. Last Wednesday, I was with Megyn Kelly, and we are coordinating another interview with Bill O'Reilly and with Sean Hannity. And I'm very happy to be in their shows anytime. And that has happened in the past. Now, I think it is unfair that because one undocumented immigrant killed a wonderful human being, that all immigrants are being blamed for that killing. It is so unfair. It's as unfair as if we were to criticize all white men in the United States for what happened in that theater in Aurora, Colorado.
It so your is answer to unfair. O'Reilly is so, no, you don't support Kate's law.
I'm not a politician. I'm not here to support any laws. And I think it is my condolences go to the families of those two Americans.
All right. So this guy is only a politician, in my opinion, and he's already, you know, he's a journalist. He's not going to comment on our laws. I mean, that's all the guy does is tell us what we can and can't do. It's stupid to put up a wall. We're not allowed to get rid of birthright citizenship. The idea of, you know, kicking these 11 million people out because they're here illegally has no standing, according to him. But he's not here to talk about the law, by the way. Anyway, 6:43, I'm going to come back and talk a little bit about Trump. And I want to get into Vester, the guy that shot those people. You'll find this interesting when you find out what his a little bit more about his background. Maybe not surprised. 6:44, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 and 805-610. Oh, and do you think, you can call in if you want and tell me if you think the president has caused the type of racism that is seems to be encouraging unstable people to lash out in violent attacks. There was a young black man who killed a cop down in Texas, apparently just because he was wearing a uniform. And there's a lot of people out there that are saying that Obama has fanned the flames. We'll be right back.
We've heard Black Lives Matter.
All right, so I've got something about Black Lives Movement. And the Wisconsin sheriff, the African-American Wisconsin sheriff, who has been a big critic of Obama's, I've got him right here for you on this. It seems increasingly dangerous out there. And I don't know. I mean, like I said before, the president plans on leaving the presidency and going back to community organizing or community disorganizing, as the case may be. That's all he knows. So when he stirs the pot and creates conflict or disagreement so that he can benefit from it, of course there's going to be victims. That's how I see it. Check this out.
All lives matter. Well, cops' lives matter too. So why don't we just drop the qualifier and just say lives matter and take that to the bank. At this point, his only target was because he's wearing a uniform. It's unfortunate there are not many civilian occupations you can point to where you can be shot for the clothes you wear.
That was Sheriff Ron Hickman from Harris County, Texas, speaking about his slain deputy, Darren Goforth, who was shot 15 times in a brutal killing. It's something I talked about with Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark, only on Fox Business. There is a war on police going on right now in our communities, and I think you have some idea on where this war came from. Tell us, please.
Stuart, I'm through being diplomatic as our nation's finest of being gunned down in the streets. I said it last December after officers Ramos and Lou of the New York Police Department's finest were ambushed inside their vehicle. I'm disgusted that there's been no sense of urgency by the President of the United States over these cop killings. Look, he breathed life into this anti-cop sentiment, this cop hatred, and he stands by as it goes on. He went out and visited a federal prison, for heaven's sakes, federal prisoners, and as he pardoned 46 of them, I would like to think that he'd take just a moment of his time, get off the golf course for a day, and go visit a police station, attend a roll call, and encourage the men and women who go out and sacrifice every day and put their lives on the line to better their community. Look, this assault that happened in Houston is an assault on our standard of living and our American way of life. The law enforcement officer defends the rule of law. The rule of law is the bedrock of a democracy, and now that's under attack. I put in a call to Attorney General Loretta Lynch in July, Stuart, and asked to discuss with her this spike in cop killings across America. And she had an underling send back an email to me saying, thank you, but the Attorney General doesn't have time on her schedule to talk to you. That's the state of things right now, and that's why I said, as far as I'm concerned, the gloves are off, and it's now time to drive a stake through the heart of this anti-cop sentiment in America,
all right,
this slime, and send these
cop
haters back into the sewers that they came from.
Okay. All good stuff. All good rhetoric. But how do you do that?
It's not rhetoric, Stuart.
Okay. But how do you drive
cops
the
are dying.
All right. So cops are dying, and there's racism out there. There's anti-cop. And has the president added to the racism out there? You think it's a crazy question? Really? The president is either helping or harming race relations. Which is it? We'll be right back to talk about Vester Flanagan, who shot down two people of the opposite race in a blind rage. 651 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, EKOBE, 523 1450, and 805-6180 to talk, to text. 805-6180. Hear the show, you sometimes need headphones. So I just said that on the air. Oh, well. Okay, so this last segment, I wanted to tell you about Vester Lee Flanagan, this guy that went over and shot those people. He was considered to be, by the people who had employed him, an extremely difficult person. And he's a gay man, he was black. In his suicide note, he mentioned black men and white women who had given him the hardest time. They said had a temper like the Hulk, that he would go off. And, he was a fairly big guy. I guess he was weightlifting and stuff. He had, when he was younger, worked as a gay prostitute and was very unhappy about moving into middle or old age, where he wasn't attractive anymore. And, he found that a very difficult thing. Now, he admitted that he's a very strange guy. When he lost his job, he killed his cats, and then he blamed it on the people that he claimed fired him. He also was just very, had a hair trigger for racist comments. For example, the things that set him off of this young lady that was shot, that she said that she was hanging around, which apparently he took to mean like being lynched, a lynching comment. And that when they said that they were going out in the field, or she said when she was going out in the field, this Allison Parker, 24, that he said he would say something along the lines of cotton fields. And so he was always filtering information to try to get something to get angry about. And, for example, when the studio that he worked for brought in watermelons, he got in a rage and said, "You're bringing these watermelons in here because of me." So, I mean, he's a very, very weird guy. Now, I read an article that talked about what most of shooters, and they called them aggrievement collectors, basically collecting all their lives the little slights that people had done to them. And one day that they would kind of blow up and get revenge, not on the people necessarily that they felt had wronged them, but on society in general. And you see this, they say time and time again in these situations where these people are lashing out. And so, you know, he described himself as a bomb ready to go boom because of all the racism around. And yet he admitted he sent in three different suicide notes. He admitted that he himself had racist grudges. So, I mean, he understood that he was a very sick person. And so he filmed it. He wanted it to be on TV. And that's just pretty sad. Okay, so one last thing. People are upset about Chris Christie saying that he would track immigrants like FedEx packages. And they're saying this is totally unrealistic. Chris Christie claiming that basically, from what I understand, that he'd put a chip in him, and people are very outraged at that. But I mean, what's outrageous about it? I mean, if one of the problems, I don't know about the chip part of it, and it could have been somebody's joke, but If one of the big problems in the country are people overstaying their visas, what would be wrong with tracking these people more carefully? It goes without saying. It seems like every single thing that it suggested we do that is a common sense response to a problem we have, people lash out at it and call it racist, call it unfair. You've got this idiot Jorge Ramos who's claiming that he's not here to influence the laws and then demands that we don't enforce any of them. Anyway, Kelly O'Connell, Walt Rubel will be coming in, and we'll pick you up after the break on the hour. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text. A lot of stuff going on. I tried to get a hold of Kiki last night about the situation with the jail, his beef with Chris Barella, and I'll see if I can get Chris Barella to come on as well. But you're listening to AM Las Cruces. We'll be back in a moment with Walt Rubel, and we'll find out more about that. It's 7:06, and of course, we've got Walt Rubel here, and so we're going to talk a little bit local, also a little bit national. And so, we've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell's show. Who's this?
This is Tom.
Hey, Tom, what's up?
It's getting real bad out there, isn't it, with murdering police officers and black leaders like Sharpton and Farrakhan. Farrakhan calling for the murder of white people and Sharpton saying things like, you know, it's only round one. We're down, but we're not out. We're going to come back and get you. And it's like, it's getting scary.
I didn't hear Farrakhan say that, but you know, the official policy of the Nation of Islam, if you boil down its theology, they believe that white people cannot be saved because they have degraded souls. They're the product of a scientific experiment that ran amok from the prophet scientist named Yaqub 25,000 years ago on the island of Patmos. So,
devils, according to him, and the Jews are something else.
Yeah, they believe that there's a mothership. I mean, there's a certain amount of stuff in the Nation of Islam that can be checked. They teach that there's a colony of black people on Mars, which you would think we would be able to do a flyby with NASA and check it out. This appears to have caught Walt's attention. And also that there's a mothership that is circling the Earth that's ready to lay waste to America.
There's a wheel in the sky,
yeah,
that he believes in.
Mothership.
It's also something how our president doesn't mention anything about this. I mean, when it comes to like assassinating white people and us getting wiped out, he doesn't say a word.
I have never seen the president stand up to defend one of his enemies, ever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Kelly, bye-bye.
Thanks, Tom. All right, Walt, so mothership. There's
with a word of that. The president has said not one word about the white people getting wiped out.
Well, no, but I'm thinking about, I was thinking about this when we had this debacle in Florida with the guy getting killed, Trayvon Martin. And
yeah, Zimmerman,
when the Black Panthers or whatever that group was put a $10,000 reward on this guy, the president didn't say anything about that. That would have been an appropriate time to say, it's one thing to have your opinions, but nobody's going to put out a bounty on this guy. He didn't say anything. And at that point, I realized that he doesn't, you know, he doesn't go and, you know, defend the other side. That's in my opinion.
Yeah. You're free to have that opinion, and I'm not going to change it. So,
well, I mean, you feel free to argue against it.
Well, I think there's example. I think this president, on the issue of race, like the issue of every other thing, has tried to thread the needle. He's tried to make both sides happy. At the end of his presidency, nobody will be more disappointed in what he did not do than the black people in this country. I think he is in a totally no-win situation.
I agree with that.
And so because he does not comment, you're not mad about something he commented about. You're mad because he chose not to comment.
Don't you think?
Or maybe he didn't choose. Maybe he just...
Don't you think he should have said something about that? I mean, he's the national spokesman for
I think there are a million issues that you could pick on any given day and say, why didn't he say something about that?
Well, the Justice Department didn't comment on it.
I think he can't win is what I'm saying.
But why didn't he send the Justice Department to go after these guys? They're offering a $10,000 reward for this guy. I mean, that to me was crazy.
Well, I don't know anything about that. I don't know how. Obviously, it was ineffectual because Mr. Zimmerman went on to beat up his girlfriend and, you know, avoid. Well, he is living today, and he is a shining example of what all his defenders wanted him to be.
He deserved a $10,000 bounty. All right,
yeah,
so
that's not what I'm saying.
You were saying that you didn't hear anything out of the email scandal that really caught your attention.
Well, no, I and this just came out last night. There were some things in there that sounded bad. There was one where dealing with Haiti, where in the same email she's talking about Secretary of State business. No, she shouldn't do that. That you know, I think the Clinton Foundation does good work. I think the Secretary of State in Haiti did good work. Those two things shouldn't be mixed together.
All right. What's
there are things like that in there that are troubling, but I don't think nothing that I've heard of yet that is shocking and that is, like I said, nothing that's going to change people's minds. I think people have made up their mind whether they think this is a big deal or not. And nothing I heard today will change.
All right. What's the difference between General Petraeus having secrets in his email and Hillary having secrets in hers?
Well, what General Petraeus did was take material that was clearly marked classified, that he knew was classified, give it to his girlfriend, and for a book, I think he was right. I forget exactly why he did that. I think he was writing a book and she was helping him, but for some reason. So there's no question that he's knowingly.
Worse.
Well, you're not. So you're saying what the difference is?
No, I'm just saying I'm trying.
Yeah,
to...
I think so. I mean, the courts have said so. That yes, knowingly, intentionally turning over classified information to somebody who shouldn't have it is different than using a private email server to send and receive information that was not marked classified. Yes, there's a difference there, if you're asking.
I've got a clip here from Bobby Jindal.
Mr. 0%.
You know what's interesting about Graham? Lindsey
Mr.
Graham,
1%?
He's 0%.
Oh, is he 0.2? Well.
But 9% of the people have indicated they will never vote for him. I thought was a pretty good achievement.
Yeah.
All right, so here's a clip from Jindal saying Hillary's one email away from going to jail. If we can get it. Here we go. Hold on just a second here. I had this muted so it wouldn't play out.
The law by passing secrets to her husband, former Congressman Anthony Weiner, who, as you know, was caught up in a texting scandal. Let's listen.
She's receiving this very, very important information and giving it to Hillary. Well, who else is she giving it to? Her husband has serious problems, and on top of that, he now works for a public relations firm. What she did is a very, very dangerous thing to this country, and probably it's a criminal act.
Did Donald Trump cross the line there with those accusations?
Well, look, Martha, I think there's a broader question in terms of how Hillary Clinton has handled, and not just her, but her staff, how they've handled classified information. What's clear is this. If a private in the military had done what they're accused of doing, there shouldn't be a different Hillary and her aides than others in the military, than others that deal with classified information. With Hillary Clinton, it just seems to be one scandal after another. She's literally one email away from going to jail. She's sworn to a federal judge. She's turned over all of her work-related emails. What I fear is that maybe we'll have to go to the Chinese and the Russians to actually see her emails. Those hackers may be the only ones that truly
have all her emails. Should Donald Trump be saying things like that about Huma Abedin?
By the way, look, I think the bigger issue here, the bigger scandal here, is the fact that Hillary Clinton seems to think, what difference does it make? She seems to think the same rules don't apply to her that apply to the others. That's the real issue. I don't think we should get distracted by others. I think the real issue here is that she's not above the law.
All right. So that is one email away from jail. But who is Huma Abedin? How did she become so central to Hillary Clinton? I don't understand it.
Well, Huma Abedin has been Hillary Clinton's, I think, chief of staff. I mean, her primary assistant for a number of years. And she was also married to Anthony Weiner.
Is still,
yeah.
And don't they have a child?
I don't know. Can I say something?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, I won't say this often, but I agree with Bobby Jindal. It is amazing to me that Martha Raddatz is more concerned about Donald Trump's reaction to this than the story itself. I think Bobby Jindal's right on that point. This is a big story. I'm not saying that this. I'm just saying that nothing today, I think, is going to change people who hadn't already made up their minds.
All right. Well, my problem with this is that it seems like Clinton, and that we've seen this before. There's a couple things they do during a crisis. Number one, they will make a little admission. So people adjust to that admission.
Yeah.
And then the facts come out and they're bigger than the admission. And then the next step, a little more of an admission.
Yeah.
And so people are kind of this Pavlovian thing. People are led down the lane and they're constantly getting kind of relaxed and led into these larger conclusions. Mm. But if it all came out at once, I think it would be devastating. And in addition to that, I think that, you know, the way that they crisis management in this particular case has been just an unmitigated disaster.
How do you have
a disaster that could have been dealt with years ago
and
not have addressed it? We do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Tony.
What's up, Tony?
Hey, man. You know, I have to take issue with Walt's comment on Mr. Obama could comment on millions of issues and he doesn't, but it's amazing how when a thug gets killed he's lecturing white people and cops on their behavior and he doesn't say a word about Kate Steinle. He doesn't say a word about these cops dying. He's out there lecturing people on climate change, calling the deniers, you know, stranded on an island. They should be stranded on an island. The man's a phony, and I don't understand how libs, especially white libs, can defend this man, continually defend this man who is a blatant racist. I just don't get it. How do you justify this man's actions?
Well,
continually.
Tony, we can't debate this. What you said at the end, I just don't get it. I agree with you. We can't debate this.
You agree with him on what?
That he doesn't get it.
Who doesn't get it?
Tony.
Oh, what? Okay, what doesn't he get?
He doesn't get the history that this country has had with race.
Oh, please. I'm biracial. I understand about race. Trust me. I understand
what black
people do to people that aren't
Tony,
them.
What I'm saying is there is no middle ground where you and I are going to meet. That's what I'm saying.
Hold on. People can't hear you if you're both talking. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's my fault. Go ahead, Tony.
I mean, you've got to be kidding. If anybody understands racism in this country, it's a guy like me who's faced it from both sides, and especially blacks, because I wasn't black enough living in a black ghetto because I had light skin. Trust me, I understand racism. I understand cops going after people because they're different. But you do not have a double standard when it comes to what's going on in this country. You cannot denounce white people or white cops for what they're doing and not get up and tell black people you are wrong in what you're saying and doing. Black Lives Matter should be chastised by this president, and he refuses to do so.
I just disagree with you. I think black, you know, we have had incident after incident after incident in this country, which has created the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, does that mean that there are not, you know, listen, this is a country where there are a lot of guns and a lot of people shooting other people of all races every single day of the year. We should decry all of it. We should do whatever we can to stop all of it. And Tony, when I said you don't understand, I was wrong. I don't know you well enough to make that judgment. But when I hear you speak, I hear somebody who looks at this situation entirely from one side of the perspective. That's what I hear. And
I'm looking at it from. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no. Go ahead. That's what I hear.
Gentlemen, can we take a break? Tony, can I put you on hold? I think this is a good call.
Sure.
Okay. And turn down that radio, by the way. We'll be right back. Got Tony and Walt kind of squaring off on this issue. 719, 720, really, it's on you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. Feel free to call in and give your opinion. We'll be right back. And it is, by the way, 7:20 now, and here we go. And I got to ask you, Walt, what's going on with Diana Duran?
Well, you know, this one really did surprise me. For people who haven't heard, Secretary of State Diana Duran is facing a 64-count criminal indictment, essentially alleging that she, as the top election official in the state, took campaign money from that was given to her campaign for her race against Maggie Louise Oliver in the last election. And siphoned that into her personal bank account and went on.
She just don't look down at her.
Well, Kelly, I have done this job enough to know that reporters really don't know the people we cover. I mean, we think we do, but especially political reporters. Any good politician keeps their guard up when they're around us. But I got to tell you, this one really, really surprised me. Diana Duran. I got to know when she was a Republican state senator from Tularosa, and I was covering the legislature. And because Tularosa, we have a paper in Alamogordo, so she was one of mine. I mean, there were a handful of legislators. We had 8 newspapers in the state, and everybody who was, you know, I considered them one of mine. And I got to know her, I thought, pretty well. And
did you ever play bingo with her?
I never did. That's what I'm saying. I mean, she was the most straight-laced. To give you an example, if you remember the famous wardrobe malfunction during the Super Bowl with Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, the next day, the Republicans were reacting to that, and she was the most outraged. She was the one, and it was legitimate. It was not contrived. It was not political. That was. I have always thought who she was.
Are you saying if one of the players was caught gambling on the Super Bowl, she would have not reacted?
I am saying that this very, very much surprised me.
All right. So what is the Diana Duran that you knew?
The Diana Duran that I knew was very conservative. And so she and I disagreed on a lot of issues. But we endorsed her both times she ran the Sun News. And I was the leading supporter. I think.
And what was it about her that caused you to back her?
Two things. And this is the ironic part. One was competency. I mean, she had a lifetime of experience working in the county clerk's office in Otero County. And there had never been a peep, never a complaint, never anything other than how competent and how well run that office was. So that was number one. Number two, and this is the ironic one, was honesty. That office has been plagued by scandal ever since I've come here. And I've been here like 14 years now. You had Rebecca Vigil-Garon two ago, who was under federal indictment. The charges eventually got dropped against it as well, and they eventually were convicted. Charges got dropped against her just because it got dragged out so long, and she was able to lawyer up and fight it to the point where she eventually beat it. But she was under indictment for basically siphoning money that was intended for federal money intended for voting, I think education purposes. I don't remember the exact details. Anyway, two times ago, the person she beat was Mary Herrera, who was never criminally charged, but at the time of the election, three of her top people went to the press and said that she was putting the squeeze on vendors for contributions, and that everybody in her office was spending all of their time on her campaign. And so that's who Diana Duran beat. And so, like I said, she had 20 some years in public service without a whiff of any scandal, any of that.
You know, it sounds so sloppy, though, that she would go and cash these checks at a casino.
Yeah.
It just makes it seem like she's got some sort of her horrific addiction.
Well, it absolutely does. And
it could have been the buffets, though. May not have been gambling.
Oh, my goodness. The Santa Fe New Mexican had a very good story where they start on December 29th of last year. She had been reelected. They said this should have been a high point for her. She was 4 days away from being sworn in again from her second term. And she had $2.18 in her bank account. And that's when she started making this flurry of bank transactions that all ended up going to the casinos.
That's so bizarre. We do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Richard Barella.
Richard Barella, what's going on?
Oh, well, I was listening to you guys talk. There's so many topics. I don't know which one to choose from.
What's the juiciest one?
Well, I think it's cop killing. I don't like that at all. I mean, I don't think anybody does. If they do, wow.
Well, Richard, let me ask you this. Has anyone influenced this thing? It seems like it's getting worse. Is there anybody that you would or group that you would point a finger at and say they've made it worse?
No, I wouldn't point at anybody in particular or a particular group. I think it comes from hate, you know, basically.
Yeah, but I don't know. Walt, do you think it just seems like it's getting worse, or maybe they're just starting to cover it more?
No, I think it's getting worse. And I think it's time for both sides to take a deep breath, and I hope that that's happening, and to start listening to the other side. I mean, we always say we need to talk to the other, but we need to listen to the other side, I think. I hope, but he's right. I mean, this is potentially getting out of hand.
Well, it just seems like it's a movement, and you know, it's been in rap music for a long time. Mm-hmm. This kind of the struggle.
Yeah. Right.
And Richard, yeah, you have to admit, there's a lot of black people locked up in prison, so that issue on, you know, disproportionate to their population, that fact alone bothers a lot of black people.
Right, and the fact that you know, I think these cops are, you know, they're, I hate to say scared, but you know, they. You know, they don't know who's who and what's what. And, you know, I don't blame them for shooting first, you know.
Yeah, I do.
I really don't. But, yeah, but at the same time, I can see the other point of view.
If you're scared and if that's your instinct to shoot first, you know,
that shouldn't be the instinct. It shouldn't have to be that way, you know.
Richard, what could be done?
Well, I think... we need to send these men that want to fight over where the fight is. The fight shouldn't be here in America. If these men are full of fight, let's get them over there where they can fight.
That's interesting. Put them over in the front lines.
Yes, sir.
All right, Richard, thanks for the call. All right. So let's talk about you. Do you know anything about the Kiki versus, speaking of Barella?
Yeah.
Kiki versus the jailhouse. Can we come back and talk about that?
Well, there are two. There's that one, and then there's also the latest one with the Stone Garden grants and Kiki versus his own top lieutenants.
He may have to take down his own men.
Yeah.
In honor, though, of Diana Duran, here is Duran Duran, Girls on Girls on
Very
Film.
Very nice, yeah. Okay. Paul Schaefer.
We're here with Walt Rubel, who's always a good guest. It is 7:31. And for temperature out there, in case you're just dying to find out, I've got here from the Weather Channel, 68 degrees, 98 high, 68 low, and we'll be right back. And we're going to talk about the Kiki, the main event here, Kiki versus Chris Barella. All right, so 7:35, and we've got this story here on the kind of the barnyard squabble between Chris Barella and Kiki Vigil. I tried to get Kiki to come on. I'm going to try to get Chris to come on. I'd like to get him to come on together, and maybe we could
hash
it out. Would you want to be the ring man for?
Oh, you bet. Call me in. I'll get up early for that one.
All right, here's a clip from ABC7.
Response to a subpoena. Today,
Rick Costello, jail administrator Chris Barella says he's demanding his name and subpoena to the legal department. 2 weeks ago,
from one of his officers that followed a conversation between the sheriff and that employee where Vijo allegedly says he's planning to take over the jail in 2 years. I asked Sheriff Vijo about that conversation. Vijo told me he's not sure what Borrell is talking about. He says he's been approached by several commissioners in the past about possibly taking over the jail, and if they wanted him to, he would.
He has an agenda. He has a plan. Fine. You want to take over the jail, Kiki? Okay. But do it like a man with integrity. Go to the commission. Let them know you want the jail. Let them know you think you can run it better than I. Don't go and resurrect things that have already been investigated and have done, have been put away, and just to dirty my name so that you can create public hatred towards me.
No, this is an independent investigation. It's been referred to as Black Collar Crime Unit, and the district attorney is on board. You know, if Chris Borrell thinks that I'm trying to slander his name, you know that he's incorrect.
Vijo said any wrongdoing will be exposed once the investigation is completed. He also said he has no harsh words towards Borrell. Live in Las Cruces with Army Mexico Mobile Newsroom, Jamie Warren.
But apparently he's got no words of love for Chris Borrell either.
Yeah, that was classic one. But be a man of it.
What is going on?
Well, when he says slander, I assume he's referring to the story we had last week about the sheriff announcing that he was investigating allegations that, you know, Chris Borrell is right. They're not new allegations. They've been out there for a while. My recollection is they were things like using department employees for, you know, his personal benefits.
Like back rubs?
Well, no, I think it was, I think a lot of it had to do with the PAL boxing club, if I remember right. And Chris Borrell is, you know, very closely tied to that. And so having people who should have been working for the county doing things for the PAL.
So what, I mean, did he get in trouble? Was there anything proved, or is it just an allegation?
Yeah. My recollection is that this is sort of the dysfunction of the county, which has no internal auditor, which has no really good mechanism for investigating these things. And I don't remember that there ever was any resolution of that. He's saying that they're old allegations, and that's true, but that doesn't mean that
they don't have any substance.
Yes, that's right.
All right. So is the county mismanaged in general, in your opinion?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
And who would you, if we had to try to figure out why, what would you say?
Well, I think it goes back a long way. But, you know, ultimately, the county commission is responsible.
County commission?
Yeah. I mean, what is happening in the treasurer's office is out of their control. And when I give you a knee-jerk no, I mean, that doesn't mean that it's irreparably horrible and every decision that they make is wrong. It's, you know, if I have to give you a yes or no answer, I would say no, I don't think they're well managed.
Well, I mean, if you were the county commission, if you're the head, what steps would you take?
That's a good question. I'm not there every day enough to know whether Julia Brown is the county manager is the problem, or if there are other things that are preventing her from being able to do her job.
But the county commission tells her what to do, don't they?
Yes and no. I mean, they hire her and they set the direction. And on some issues, yes, they give her, but on a lot of issues, the day-to-day running of the county, you know, she has discretion just like Robert Garza does at the city to make a lot of decisions.
Okay. Well, we'll take a little break here and come back. And what else is there?
We got to get into this Kiki thing. It's not just him in the jail. It's also this Stone Garden thing.
All right,
we got to
come back and talk about Stone Garden. We're here with Walt Rubel and talking about city and county stuff. Little Duran Duran, Girls on Film, in honor of Diana Duran. It is 7:41. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 805-6180 to text, 805-6180 to text. And we will come back and talk about Stone Garden. We're here with Walt Rubel, and there's this incident involving the Stone Garden grants and the Sheriff's Department. What is that about?
Well, for better or worse, Kiki is going after folks. You know, we said off the air that he's stirring the pot.
Yeah.
No question about that. One of the things he told us before the election was that he was going to go after what he called the brass, meaning, you know, the top captains, lieutenants. He complained that they were just sitting on their butts having coffee all day and making all this money, and he was going to get them out there patrolling. And, you know, I don't know enough about the inner workings of the sheriff's department to know if that was true or not, but that was what he told us.
Sounds hard to believe if they were undermanned, but go ahead.
One of the other things he told us was that he thought that this Stone Garden money, which is federal money that is given to law enforcement agencies along the border, ostensibly to help out with things like drug enforcement, human trafficking, that kind of thing, that you get in the border that you don't have in other areas of the country. And there's quite a bit of money. I was surprised, actually, at how much it was. And he was complaining that that wasn't getting down to the deputies, the guys who really needed it. And so he announced yesterday that he had turned this information over to Tim Keller, which I thought was an interesting choice, the state auditor.
Because Tim Keller's a muckraker.
Well, he is a little bit, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
And so where it goes from there, I don't know. But Tim Keller is now investigating, and Kiki is alleging that guys who were, you know, the captains, the top paid guys, were getting as much as $60,000 and $70,000 a year additional overtime money on top of what
that's,
you know,
a stunning amount.
Well, it is, especially when you think of the morale problems they have in that department. At the very bottom, at the lower end, where they haven't had raises, and you know,
and you got to think that the people from the bottom to the top knew about this.
Oh, of course.
So it added to the dissatisfaction.
You know, and I hate to, you know, slander Todd Garrison when he's gone, but you know, this comes on top of the other thing we learned last week, that Rick Seeberger, his famous chief of staff, who had no law enforcement experience. When he was fired, he filed a lawsuit against everybody under the sun, including the Sun News and Peter Goodman, our columnist, the five or six people at the county, five or six people at Dasso. I mean, he just sued everybody, and all of that was thrown out last week because it was a ridiculous lawsuit.
All right. So what do you think about the direction that Kiki is headed in his muckraking and his stirring
the pot? I kind of like it. I mean, we'll see where it leads. But I, you know, listen, I think there are things at the detention center and, you know, at the sheriff's office in the last couple of years under Todd Garrison that needed to be looked into.
Okay.
You know,
what kind of, I'm going to ask you what kind of stuff you heard about the jail, but we've got a call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is David.
David, good morning to you. Thanks for the call, and hope you're doing well. What's up?
Hey, I want to go back to the issue of Hillary and her emails.
Okay.
You know, I had a TSFBI clearance, and I dealt with classified systems, and I pretty much knew what you could and couldn't do. And I think for somebody who is in her position at the very top of her organization to make the claim that she didn't know, or at least have some inkling that she was dealing with classified information, is just completely ridiculous. First of all, in order for those emails to get from a TSSCI system onto an unclassified system, somebody committed a felony. There's no doubt about it. Secondly, I don't buy the claim necessarily that, or at least I buy it with a great deal of skepticism that they weren't properly marked. Somebody at her level, at the very top of her organization where the buck is supposed to stop, ought to know that, or at least have some idea about what's classified and not classified. Otherwise, they don't belong where they're at.
All right.
Well, when you say that to move something from the classified server to the unclassified server is a felony, that's absolutely right. That has not been proven. That has not been proven. As a matter of fact, one of the emails released today was her complaining to one of her staffers that, you know, come on, this is a public statement. Apparently it was something that Tony Blair had put out as a public statement, but it was still being marked as classified. And the staffer was saying, I know, but what could I do? I mean, so that part that you're alleging has simply not been proven.
I'm sorry, but I don't buy all of it because I understand that some of the information was derived from imagery. Okay, you know, if she is looking at some imagery or something, she ought to know that perhaps somebody misclassified it, or maybe I shouldn't pass it on, and I certainly shouldn't have the nation's secrets, diplomatic secrets, on an unprotected server in somebody's bathroom in Colorado. You know, the whole thing stinks to high heaven, and I don't think there's a proper amount of skepticism being expressed. And I think that we are being very poorly served by her.
Well, David, I appreciate the call. Anything else?
No. That's about it.
Good call. Thank you. Folks, we're running out of time, so I got to cut that short, but it was kind of interesting. And, well, it looks like Walt wants to give her the benefit of the doubt.
But, I think when he says it's been proven that a felony has been committed, he's just wrong.
Well,
it
what
has
he
not
was,
been proven.
What he was referring to, I believe, when he says imagery, satellite imagery, mm-hmm. that was highly, highly confidential that was in her emails, there's got to be a crime there. Walt?
Your love affair with
Hillary Clinton must
end. I have
end.
No love affair
it
with Hillary
must
Clinton.
End.
I have no love affair.
Folks, we'll be right back, and we'll kind of conclude this up. We're here with Walt Rubel, and you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 805-6180. I'll read your text when I come back. No, I didn't mean either. Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
It's Ralph, Kelly.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I have a comment about Hillary.
Can I put you on hold?
Ralph,
can I put you on hold?
Sure.
Okay, thanks.
Some of these people call like once every 3 months. Well, I've gotten a lot of calls today.
Here with Walt, and I've got on the line. Who's this?
It's Ralph.
Ralph, how you doing, and what's on your mind?
Oh, it's about Hillary. I recall when Slick Willie was involved with Monica, and she gave the same attitude. What difference does it make? Now, Benghazi and other situations, what difference does it make? You really want a president in there that doesn't give a rat's rear end about her personal situation? Why should she care about the American people, about what's happening to them? What difference does it make when people get murdered in Libya, and what difference does it make?
She doesn't
what
care. In other words,
she does. Yes, yes. She, in my opinion, I don't even have to say in my opinion. That's the truth. If she says, what difference does it make? It doesn't make a rear end. What happens?
Do you think she's had a lesbian relationship with her longtime assistant?
I've read quite a bit and I've heard quite a bit about that, and I just don't feel it's right to comment on that. That's to her. But, it's up to her and the public to judge her.
All right, Ralph, thanks for the call. Folks, we're running out of time, and I want to – any comment there, Walt?
Yeah, just real quickly, when she said what difference does it make in context with the Benghazi investigation, it wasn't what difference does it make whether or not they died. It was what difference does it make what inspired the act itself. Just,
all
just
right.
To
well,
it
made a nice soundbite.
It did.
This is from Barney, your texts. The tragedy of Obama's presidency is that he had the potential to change the country in healthy ways, but instead he seemed to inject rhetorical venom. into the atmosphere. How true, Barney. Got another call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Well, this is Aaron, Kelly.
Aaron, it's been a while. Where you been?
Oh, just enjoying life without paying attention to all this.
Good for you.
All right. Briefly, we're running out of time. What's up?
I thought that it was incumbent upon the Secretary of State or anybody else with security clearance to make sure they didn't send classified or top secret information, that it didn't necessarily have to be marked.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, that's going to be up for the voters to decide. When you say incumbent, I mean, that's different than legally.
No, I mean legally. I thought it was up to them take care of these things that they receive and things that they send.
I think that's probably accurate. It doesn't matter what it's marked.
They have to make a judgment. It's not marked classified, but because they don't make a judgment that it should have been, that's not.
Thanks for the call, Aaron. I got to go. All right, folks, dear Mr. O'Connell, as a fellow Irishman, you know of prejudice. Oh, my gosh.
The know-nothing party.
And there are no black criminals, only victims, and no black racists. And trouble in Iraq is workplace violence. All right, sounds like a Democrat, LOL. Was Diane a Democrat or Republican?
She's a Republican.
I'm playing something for her in honor of her, Duran, Girls on Film, for Diana Duran. Like most men, here's chip all the county employees. Should the county employees have chips? You conservatives hate Hillary so much, maybe Sanders will win. Talk about a socialist state, Trump versus Sanders. Kathy, Hillary is a nasty witch. All right, we got 1 minute. 1 minute here, Walt. Summer up.
So, well, Hillary made a big mistake by having that private server. She hasn't handled it well since then. That's why Joe Biden is looking to get in the race, and that is perfectly fair for voters to consider.
Joe Bite Me?
Mm. I love Joe Biden. I really do.
What a lovable old coot.
He is.
All right. So, folks, thanks for tuning in, and we appreciate Walt Rubel sharing his time with us. It's almost 7:59. We're going to pick it up tomorrow. I had some stuff that I didn't quite get to today, but really appreciate you tuning in. And you've been listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell here. And we'll take you out with our dedication to Diane Duran, Duran Duran Girls on Film. Have a great day. Ciao.